welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the weekend music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And this week on the show, we are diving into the first solo album in a long, long time from a rock icon. It's David Byrne and his album American Utopia. Will be the first part of our discussion today. After that, we're going to dive into the Billboard Hot 100. This week, the highest charting single, which will be the topic of our conversation, belongs to Post Malone. And that song is called Psycho, featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Note that the song is just called Psycho, and the song is not called Psycho featuring Ty Dolla $ign. But the song does feature Ty Dolla $ign, and that'll be the conversation of the back half of the program. Right. Since we've taken a couple weeks off, we've got a whole lot more to talk about after that, including some preparations for episode 100. Mark, we hit 100 episodes, and we've got a very special episode planned for the folks at home.
That's true. A very special episode. I'm very excited about it.
It's Sarice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
That's right.
My Don Pardo.
We're sending out Rice-A-Roni to all of our listeners all around the world.
It's really expensive for us to do it, but
right. We're
going to blow some cash on hitting the big hundo.
We initially planned on sending champagne to everyone, which is a more appropriate, generally, culturally, kind of gift, like party-throwing gift to send, but we don't have the funds, so we will be sending Rice-A-Roni to everybody. And anyone who sends us their home address, which please do, please send us your home address so we can mail you Rice-A-Roni for our 100th episode.
And if you don't appreciate the Rice-A-Roni, then something's wrong with you, because you never look a Rice-A-Roni in the mouth. That's what my mama always taught me.
Yeah, I'll say if you don't like Rice-A-Roni, you're probably a racist.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mark, I think it's time we talk about this old guy named David Byrne. Maybe you're familiar with a little group called Talking Heads, Mark?
Talking Heads.
Maybe you're familiar with a little something called Talking Heads?
Who is that? Never heard of them.
Well, I can tell you that they certainly weren't important to anyone or anything at any point in time.
With a name like
but
that.
But I can tell you. What?
With a name like that, what would you expect?
Yeah, if you're going to make an album of music, why don't you call yourself the Singing Heads?
The Singing Boys.
Okay.
Hey, everyone, we're the Singing Boys. They're not all boys. So it's an interesting commentary that they're not.
Yeah, they really could have been forward-thinking with that kind of name. I don't know why they didn't decide to go with it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't even remember who we're talking about, so it's probably not even worth discussing.
Is American Utopia the sequel to American Valhalla?
Ooh.
What comes before or after the other one?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
There's no, like, because fun features.
Right. You've also got old Iggy Pop making music calling his one song American Valhalla. We've got David Byrne here, who is now also old, making songs and calling this thing American Utopia. Maybe it's some, like, old person Illuminati symbol. You decide of where you're going to be.
Oh, that's great. Like, the last album you make in America is where you end up when you go to heaven. Charlie, do you think there's a heaven?
All I got to say is, if the choice is between American Valhalla or American Utopia, I think I'm going to pick American Valhalla, Mark.
Oh, I see. I think I'm going to pick American Utopia.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the album, Mark. You are a big fan of Talking Heads, so why don't you tell us why you chose this album and what you have to lose on this thing?
What I have to lose? Nothing. Yeah. I have nothing, but I can only gain.
Okay.
I think David Byrne is a somewhat uneven solo artist who occasionally does some really interesting, really awesome stuff. I think his first project he did with Brian Eno is incredible. I think the collaboration he did with St. Vincent was pretty good too. But I kind of find a lot of his solo albums to be pretty much like, here are a bunch of almost like essays, like musical essays on music or American culture. And so I don't know. I was pretty interested to see what he had to say, considering this album follows this weird, like, I don't even know if it was like a tour or just a state of mind, but he, in interviews, has been talking about how how last year was a year where he was trying to reconnect with America, try to find things to celebrate in a time full of hardship. And this is sort of the album that came out of that. And I personally am having a tough time reconciling that. I don't think there's a lot in American Utopia that is super reminiscent of those ideas. I don't know if you happen to find any of that.
No. And I think the key word here is inconsistent, because I think this record is all over the place. I think it's got some fantastic highs, and I think it's got some embarrassingly awful lows.
Really?
And a lot of stuff that also hits kind of right in the middle here. It's really, really interesting as an album just to get inside of and talk about. And I think the best way of getting inside this thing at first is the very first track, I Dance Like This, which opens up in this sort of beautiful orchestral sweeping sound. And then you get this more robotic, synth heavy, chorus that drops like a lead weight in the middle of the song and ruins any sense of groove. You know, David Byrne's a weird dude, and he has certainly got a track record to suggest that he's got incredible creative talent. But I think sometimes with a talent like his, you take some swings and you take some misses, and not everything you're going to do is going to fit nicely into something accessible. And for me, I don't know, it's maybe just a bit awkward to fully enjoy.
I think that's comes with the territory, too, with David Byrne and the Talking Heads in general. I think if you find this like musically inconsistent somehow, you might have difficulty engaging with the rest of the catalog, because I even like some of the albums that people kind of talk about as like the more accessible Talking Heads albums can, like, in terms of energy and sound, can feel like there's a pretty wide variety, and there's a lot of weird talk of like culture through a very specific, like, absurdist lens kind of thing. I think it, for the purposes of discussing American Utopia, it might be worth saying that David Byrne is the, like, musical equivalent of someone like David Lynch, where sometimes you're going to do something really amazing that is not enjoyable, like something that's fascinating but that isn't I don't know what the right word for it is, like, just so difficult to engage with. I think my problem, though, is the opposite of yours, in that I find this very straightforward. I wanted there to be a little more in terms of subversion, and it's like this sort of optimism that he's imbued in his music and in this analysis of America. Sometimes I just get frustrated listening to it. Like, there's two tracks in which one of the primary ideas in the song is what a dog doesn't think about, which, like, one of those tracks is a lot for that topic, I think, to cover.
And the fact they're back-to-back on the album, right, is kind of disconcerting, that you're thinking of Every Day as a Miracle and Dog's Mind.
Right. For, like, 6 minutes, I'm considering what a dog doesn't think about.
I think that sonically, production-wise, the album sounds terrific. I think it's really sharp. Some cool moments, interludes of instrumentation throughout a number of the tracks. But lyrically is where it kind of falls apart for me. And I think bringing up Every Day is a Miracle is a good place to start, because this, for me, is the lyrical low point of the album. We got to talk about some of these lyrics, Mark, and make sense of these things.
Sure.
First off, the chorus is, like you said, just unbridled optimism, sunshine chords. Every day is a miracle. Every day is an unpaid bill. You got to sing for your supper and love one another. Very feel-good, bright sunshine chords. And so here we go. Here's some lyrics from the verses. The chicken thinks in mysterious ways, but beauty is not what we're after. Now the chicken imagines a heaven full of roosters and plenty of corn, and God is a very old rooster, and eggs are like Jesus, his son.
Nice.
Any thoughts on the chicken metaphor there?
It's a great chicken metaphor.
He really runs with it.
Yeah, that's my problem, is that he spends a long time on it.
Well,
we got a little bit of a Miracle Goodnight situation happening here, Charlie.
Yeah, and I kept thinking of like the other great vanguards of rock music from days gone by that have lived to an older age and put out albums. You know, I'm thinking of like Paul Simon putting an album out a couple of years ago,
which was
and how
great.
That was kind of lyrically inconsistent for me. And the Iggy Pop album, and of course David Bowie's stuff from the 90s. This all feels similar to that to me, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, okay, I think American Utopia is maybe pockmarked in spots by some uneven tracks, but I don't think, like, I'll even agree with you outright on certain points. I think the track Bullet is, like, a total slog, musically and lyrically. Like, just this, like, I don't know, open mic poetry about a bullet entering flesh where a woman once touched, it's just, like, all a bit much.
Yeah, well, we're not done with Every Day is a Miracle yet, so Okay. Let's save Bullet for a minute. So into verse 2, this is where I'm like, wait, what? Here we go. Cockroach might eat Mona Lisa. The Pope don't mean shit to a dog. And elephants don't read newspapers. And the kiss of a chicken is hot.
Okay.
And then he goes on to say, the brain of a chicken and the dick of a donkey, a pig in a blanket.
Right.
That's why you want me. Every day is a miracle.
Yeah. I'll give you the chicken.
That's a lot to take in.
There's a lot. You're not wrong. There's a lot there.
What do you think about the Pope and the dog? Is that a good line?
No.
Okay, let's play a little bit so you can hear the whole thing, because his delivery is just as important as the lyrics, I think. Just the way he delivers it. And the kiss of a chicken is hot.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
What? No.
That's an incredible thing for an adult to say. An adult man. Oh, I love that.
All right, here's the rest of it. You like that?
I love that.
Man, I don't know. I think that's a hard swing of the miss for me.
I think my problem with it is that it's just kind of a simple, unsatisfying idea. Like, okay, everything's really bad, but you know what? Think about the miracle of existence. It's like not like a response to like awful larger world, you know, wide stuff. And sort of, I don't know, reminding us of, like, the food chain in the middle of that just doesn't poetically feed into the metaphor in a way I find all that interesting.
It just, to me, feels like some teenager who watched Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland for the first time and now is, like, navel-gazing.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it. I agree.
Ugh.
I agree with you, but I it's a low point. I'll give you that. But I think there's really interesting stuff on this album, too.
We've got Bullet.
Oh, you just
want
to look at this. This is like you're coming into the ring with a chair. You're going right off for the bad stuff. This is a election. You're Nixoning me.
The bullet went into him. About someone getting shot, but it's like really romantic and soft and poetic, I guess, to mourn the loss of someone. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's maybe more like a tragic, like, think about this, the full-fledged life this person led that is culminating in this stupid act of violence.
But I also think, like, the delivery there doesn't really underscore his point he's trying to make.
Okay, how's that?
I don't know. By emphasizing that the bullet went its merry way, I don't know. I feel like he's not, I don't know, not incising enough. He's not critical enough. Mm-hmm. He's really upset about it. I don't know. Taking it, it's like he's going for the Anoni effect, where you try to bring attention to something by praising what is bad, and I don't think it's as effective. Maybe because there's not enough like synths up to 11 as he's just singing about getting drone bombed.
I don't know. I don't know if I fully agree with that analysis of the song, though, as I think it's more the idea of like these unstoppable, like, this person's life was on this trajectory. This person, this bullet is indifferent to this man's existence.
Also on trajectory.
Exactly. No, yeah, I think that's exactly it. You're free to dislike it. I also agree it's not a great track, but let's be fair here, critically.
Okay. How about It's Not Dark Up Here?
I like that track.
Yeah? Do you like when he says, hey!
Okay, what's happening now? Is you're just not gelling with the Talking Heads vibe.
See, I think we'll talk about that in a little bit, and I don't think that's true.
I don't know. Okay, that's interesting.
Because I did listen to Talking Heads quite a bit this week, and I had a lot more fun with that than I did with this.
Okay. So what is it about the hay, then, that's so off-putting?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Hey!
I'm thinking it's kind of scattershot.
I'm thinking it's flamboyant.
Is Dog's mind about Donald Trump?
Well, in a roundabout way, yeah, I guess.
It's like the dog can't imagine what it takes to be a man.
It's so broad, though, that I think you can apply that. I think you can apply, okay, Trump, he doesn't really know what's going on in the world, just like a dog wouldn't. But I think that's kind of maybe my larger criticisms is like, he can't help but slide into these really his like typical essay quality writing, right? Like this like poetic metaphor for something happening right now. But that is so broad that it's not really a meaningful response.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah. He says, we are dogs in our own paradise in a theme park of our own. Doggy dancers doing duty, doggy dreaming all day long.
That's beautiful. And your reading was beautiful.
Thank you. All right, so I'm being kind of harsh because, like I said, you know, I'm picking out all the bad stuff first. And, you know, I do think that musically it is pleasant sounding throughout the majority here. It's just lyrically that I take some issues with some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get to the second to last track. Everybody's coming to my house, Mark, and then I'm having a great old time with this thing. That's a great track.
Yep, that is a great track.
Let's play it. It's up tempo, it's danceable, it's got great lyrics, it's got great instrumentation when that little like plucky guitar comes in after the first chorus is done. It is a joy to listen to. I love that track.
It's great. Very few moments on this album have that much straightforward energy, so I think it's like a welcome thing too in the album to have that pick me up.
I feel like that has to be the opener on this thing, right?
No, I'd rather listen to him dance like this. I like opening an album with David Byrne pretending to be a
disagree.
Robot. Okay. I also kind of like... That's like a spot in the album, too, that I like a whole lot, which is this, like, suburban existence element. I also really like the track Doing the Right Thing. Like, once we're kind of away from Bullet, Doing the Right Thing is maybe my favorite track on the album. Just this idea of, like... you're so worried about what the correct element of living a suburban life is, like driving the right car, or listening to the right music, being the right kind of person, subscribing to the right ideas and stuff like that. In this sort of like manic falsification of self, I think he captures really well. I like his vocals on it. It's a good track, Charlie.
Yeah, I find that one kind of sleepy, to be honest.
Well, you know, sometimes some of us do the wrong thing.
Well, what about Gasoline and Dirty Sheets?
It's a good track. It's a good
track.
That's
a good track right there. I like that one better. I like the production on that a lot.
Yeah, and better imagery, I think, on that track than most of the other tracks.
Have you thought about why Homer Simpson is on the album cover?
That is a great point. I had not thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to think about it now?
Yeah, I would love to think about it now. I like this album art. You don't like it?
No, I like it. I'm just surprised he put Homer Simpson front and center.
Well, have you been
like,
keeping up with the
people you could use to describe American Utopia? I wouldn't think that he's one that you want to be front and center representing that utopic ideal.
Have you been watching The Simpsons, though?
Not since 2003.
Right. It's the current arc is really strange. As you can see from the cover, Homer Simpson has lost a lot of weight. He's divorced from Marge.
Yeah. Shaved.
He's sad. He's tiny eyes. It's
living inside a painting.
Yes, he's entered the painterly world. And
Is this just one long extended couch gag?
This life.
Am I living in a Simpsons couch gag right
now?
That
would be terrifying.
Is that why Donald Trump is president?
Oh no 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 no! And then
Simpsons
you don't exist.
Did it. Simpsons did it.
Damn
it, Simpsons.
I love the Simpsons.
Well, it seems like you also love this album.
I do. This is a great album. I had a great time with. Well, okay, wait. You know what? Let me pull back. I'm responding to your attitude. I don't think this is a great album. I think this is a.
No, of course not.
I don't think it's that
two
bad.
2 out of 5.
No, it is not that bad.
It's 2 out of 5.
I
think this album is utterly forgettable. I think by the end of this year, you will have forgotten that you even listened to this thing.
I don't think it'll factor into end of the year stuff. I mean, I'll agree with you there, but I think
I'll look back and say, oh, David Byrne put out that one great song this year of Everybody's Coming to My House. When's he going to put an album out with that song on it? And I'll be like, oh man, he already did. Whoops. Forgot about that one.
That is a crazy scenario. You will never do that. You have a better memory than anyone I know. You remember weird things. You win at Jeopardy.
Like what? Like what?
I like the name of like, I don't know. I can't think of a good example. I just know I've played Jeopardy with you, and you generate answers to me that seem unfathomably obscure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. I know what to tell you, which is I don't think American Utopia lives up to like a grand statement level thing, but as I think most of his solo albums tend to be like just these, the reason why they're not labeled as Talking Heads, obviously. Other than the rest of the band isn't present. I think it's just because it's like...
Yeah, you're forgetting a whole other band there, Mark.
With
creative
important.
Ideas and decisions and contributions.
Yes, agreed. But
just slander their names.
Just saying. I think there's also an idea that maybe as a solo artist, he's interested in like putting out things that aren't going to be like huge statements, but are like an interesting collection of songs. And I think this kind of fulfills that. I wish it didn't divert itself as often as it does, and I don't think he's you know super confident as a writer on the album, but I think it's got some pretty interesting moments all the same. I think it's worth listening to.
All right, well, do you have any highlights?
I do. I'm going to take Everybody's Coming to My House, and
of course
I'm also going to take, this is maybe we haven't talked about this track at all, I'm gonna take This Is That. Because the production on that
utterly forgettable. Go ahead, tell us why you like it so much.
I'll play a little bit of it because I think the production on it's really interesting.
All right. That's when I got
It almost feels, it has that sort of like Yeezus era Kanye West feel, but it's very gentle.
What?
If you listen to the percussion.
What? Play it again. No, you don't get to make that kind of claim.
Well, like.
Hold up. Play it again. Play it again, Mark.
Okay, wait. Wait, wait. No, like, get to a better part than that for that. Hold on. Yeah, I didn't say it sounds exactly like Kanye West. What I said was it kind of recalls that stuff. No. I'm saying that's interesting. David Byrne doesn't usually sound like that. It feels more modern in its production. It's, and I especially meant the percussion. So why don't you eat a sock and call it your grandma? Okay, Charlie?
Alrighty, that is David Byrne's American Utopia. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got the latest from the Billboard Hot 100, which is Post Malone's Psycho. So stay tuned. It knows where I'm at, and it knows where I've been. Damn, your lips very soft. Alrighty, we are back and ready to get into the latest from Post Malone. It's called Psycho. I'm pretty sure it's not the cover of the movie.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
It would be hard for him to narrate the entire movie.
But
I don't know.
That's what's amazing.
Very soon.
That's what's so satisfying about the song. I've listened to it. He actually does narrate the entire film, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. It's actually pretty incredible.
So it's like an audiobook.
Right, but he talks through a talk box the whole time. So it sounds great.
Awesome. I'm so down for that. Yeah. Let's hit it. Damn, I hate being gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Homo for clowns and all the balls. Well, I hate being gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't it's already annoying.
He's popping his peas there a little bit.
Is AP going psycho?
It's true. I can feel the small, like, puffs of air generated by each B or P kind of has like the smell of like a Big Mac he ate maybe a half hour ago, getting kind of a waft of that McDonald's special sauce, you know?
Yeah. He's got that swagger.
I didn't hate that first 30 seconds, Charlie, I'll tell you what.
Okay. Well, I'll read you some genius lyrics. It says, my AP going psycho, lil' mama bad like Michael. Audemars Piguet is a Swiss luxury watch manufacturer. However, AP going psycho may be an obscure reference to action points from the video game series Fallout, since Psycho is an injectable drug that added AP in Fallout and Fallout 2.
I reject that.
Okay, Post Malone is a huge fan of the Fallout series. He has a tattoo of the game's Vault Boy mascot on his leg, and in late 2016, he tweeted that it's one of the only games that he plays, tweet, beer bongs and Bentleys, all I play is Skyrim and Fallout, at 5:44 a.m. on November 21st, 2016.
That sounds like he was on a Bethesda bender.
The official video for the song also paid homage to the game's series, depicting a post-apocalyptic desert wasteland inhabited by feral beasts, just like in the game. Bad means attractive, but it's also the title of one of Michael Jackson's biggest hits, released in 1987. Following the title of the track and the line itself, this may be a subtle reference to fictional Halloween character Michael Myers, serial killer, and self-proclaimed psycho, short for psychopath.
That's a reference to Michael Jackson. I don't believe in any of those other references.
Okay.
Are you picking up on that? Do you agree?
I think it's got to be Michael Myers.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Don't spay his name.
Don't spay his name?
Don't spay his name.
Jesus. You think it's Michael
can't
Myers?
Really trust,
but bad.
I don't know. I don't care. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. With fame comes money, and Post Malone is no stranger to spending his money on jewelry. In a 2016 interview with GQ, he showed off his collection of chains, grills, rings, and watches. There's a really dumb picture of him smiling at the camera.
I gotta see this. Oh, he looks thrilled, though.
He looks like an 8-year-old kid that ate a brownie and is smiling at the camera while his mama takes a picture.
Ah! That's his vibe in this photo for the listener.
My roof looked like a no-show, got diamonds by the boatload. One of Post Malone's prize possessions is his 1966 Lincoln Continental Convertible. West Coast Customs added suicide doors and new wheels in early 2016.
Suicide doors? What's that?
Those are the doors that open backwards.
Oh.
They open front ways? Because if you open it while the car is moving, it just snaps right off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We got a line that says, come with Tony Romo for clowns and all the bozos. Tony Romo, NFL broadcaster and former quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, wore number 9 for the entirety of his career. Therefore, coming with a Tony Romo implies he's coming with a 9mm handgun to protect himself from innocent people. That's also a leap, I think.
There's someone's like really trying to shove some extra cultural stuff into this song that doesn't fit.
Post Malone is an unashamed Dallas Cowboys fan, even though he was born in New York. He grew up in Grapevine, Texas, and his father even works for the Cowboys, which served as inspiration for his choice of favorite team. Bozo the Clown is a character created by Alan W. Livingston, who was eventually used as an early mascot for Capitol Records. Post is referring to dealing with stupid or rude people. He talked about his support for the Second Amendment in a verified annotation on Patient.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read it.
Okay.
FNN Herstal is a firearm. I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment. I think it's only a matter of time before the government are going to come for our firearms, and I think it's a crazy time that we live in, and violence has been going on for so long, but I think it's really an exploitation, and now I'm taking advantage of our right as humans to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. It's the only way, and that's why I'm building an apocalypse shelter.
No, Jesus. Can you imagine surviving the apocalypse with only Post Malone at your side?
That would be the apocalypse. That would be worse than the apocalypse.
Oh, man. You would, like, leave the shelter.
Like in Fallout.
Exactly. Well, this is actually... The Second Amendment is actually a reference to Fallout, which includes guns that you can fire. And so, therefore, you can kind of see that it's a Fallout reference there.
Makes sense. Fallout 2 reference.
Right. There's also people in the world of Fallout whose name is Tony. So that's probably, I would say that's a Fallout reference for you.
Mark, do you think this entire album is about Fallout?
I'm going to go ahead and say this entire album is about Fallout. Yeah, I'm going to say that's true.
All right. Let's keep going. Trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof flip like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands. Oh, you stuck in the friend zone. I tell that 4, 5, 5. Ayy, 100 bins inside my shorts. A chain, all the shit. Ayy, try to stuff it all in, but it don't even fit. Ayy, know that I've been with the shits ever since the jit. I made my first million, I'm like, shit, this is it. Hey, 34, walk through, man, we had it.
God, I just don't want to listen to him talk at all.
He really gets in that groove and just kind of hangs out there, huh?
Just, man, I just feel like he's like too close. He's like talking to me and he doesn't understand personal space. He's like real close to my face.
Yeah. Well, he says, you stuck in the friend zone. I tell that 4, 5, 5. Hey. The friend zone refers to one person who hits on another, but that other person just treats them like a friend, passively, aggressively rejecting them.
God,
the woman keeps asking Post questions, perhaps asking why he won't get with her. The fifth may be a reference to the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution. It states that a citizen has the right to remain silent when interrogated. Post pleads the fifth and tells the girl He doesn't have anything to answer.
I hate this. Also, that is a terrible explanation of what the friend zone is.
Yeah. I think we need Thundercat in here to help us out.
The way better explanation of the friend zone, for sure.
I'm going to play Diablo either way.
So, like, what is the goal in that moment? Like, passive-aggressively treating them like a friend. Like, why is that passive-aggressive? Like, what is the correct response to someone hitting on you that you don't want to hit on you?
I think you're always supposed to let it happen.
Right.
Especially if you're a woman.
Yeah. But if you're a boy and then another boy's doing it, ew!
Right. That's not even the friend zone. That's something else.
Ugh. Thank God Post Malone is here for people like us.
I think Post Malone's like the real-life version of Chank Smith. Like, he's the closest approximation I have to, like... But Chank Smith is much more lovable and appreciable, and I re-listened to that album this past week and just... I loved it, you know?
Right.
He's one of those guys that'll say, you know, everybody like my swag, and if they don't, what rhymes with swag?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the word I can't say, but I would if I wasn't moving to Hollywood.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's the kind of the joke, is that someone is just, like, totally that full of themselves and terrible. And, yeah. Probably Post Malone is that guy, and he makes $1 zillion, and the world's a good place.
His life's a documentary.
Man. Is there a genuine question for you? Is there any Billboard artist that you like less than Post Malone?
That one song we got earlier was pretty bad. I can't remember the kid's name.
Oh, shoot, yeah. I don't remember his name either.
The one where Cardi B was on the song with him.
Right.
And immediately upstaged him.
Right. You think he's worse?
I don't know.
At least you found something in that one track, though, to like. Right? Yeah. Like, this is...
Well, Ty Dolla $ign's still on the way, so we'll see what if he can maybe turn it around. Let's keep going! Baby slit, ayy, had so many bottles, gave ugly girl a sip. Out the window of the Benz, oh, we get sent in the rent. And I'm like, whoa, man, my legs so goddamn cold. Diamonds when my teeth are sore. I got homies, let it go. My money, they will never fall. She's taking, I have some to hold. I just always have no idea what he's saying and don't understand why every single one of the songs ends up saying the exact same thing.
Yeah. I would at least say, though, that it's kind of cool that he and his friends share BJs. It seems kind of progressive.
Is that accurate?
So I got homies, let it blow. I mean, what else could he be talking about there?
Notice that line is not annotated, so... They're not even going to touch that one. They don't want to know.
That one's particularly tough to tie to Fallout. I don't think you can really do that in that game. But I think it's cool he does that. I'm going to go on the record. I think it's really cool that Post Malone lets all his friends blow him.
30 for a walkthrough, man. We had that bitch lit. Post is referring to a club appearance in which he gets paid $30,000 by the promoter to show up and party. The club appearance economy was highlighted in the 2016 GQ article, Money for Nothing, the Lucrative World of Club Appearances. That claims a celebrity like Scott Disick makes up to $80,000 a night by spending an hour at 10AK in Las Vegas. The line below this expands on the club theme. Post receives unlimited bottle service, so he allows every girl who approaches to have a sip.
Unlimited bottle
even
service.
Ugly ones.
This is the worst. If there's ever a conversation of like why do people say the world is bad? Like, why do people, like, when they wake up, they're like, man, everything kind of sucks and I'm in a bad mood about it and I don't know how to change it. If there's ever anyone who doesn't understand why someone feels that way, all you have to do is point to Post Malone. Just like have them Google Post Malone one time and it's pretty much all the bad stuff is like wrapped up in this one fun little package.
There he is.
This kid from Syracuse coming in to tell you that he even lets ugly girls hang out.
Even the ugly ones.
All right. And I can never say you no. Damn, I hate to go and
psycho. Little mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Romo for clowns and all the balls. Or I ain't pick on psycho. Little mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Don't act like you my friend.
I won't. I promise I won't act like I'm your friend.
How much do you have to turn off your brain to enjoy that kind of thing? How much do you have to, like, remove yourself from the critical thinking part of yourself? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just feels stagnant and empty.
I think if it's on the radio and you can't hear the words through the car stereo, you know, the production, this is better production than he's had before. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. But even now, I'm having a hard time distinguishing the words, and I'm sitting here listening to it on great speakers.
Are you?
I'm not in a car, Mark.
You're in the car?
As much as I'd want to be in a car. No, I'm not in the car.
I was going to say, that'd be amazing if you podcasted every episode from your car.
That's the only way I know how to get this great signal.
Right. How do you keep an energy in your podcast up? Oh, I drive. I drive down the highway while I record.
It's dangerous and ill-advised by all parties, but you know what? The podcast just comes out extra special when I'm putting my life and others on the line.
Hey, website interviewer, I'm a podcast bad boy, and I drive when I record. Okay?
Something about that repetitious pattern is putting me to sleep, Mark.
You mean of the massage I'm giving you right now? I thought that was the back rub that I was giving you.
Too much repetition.
Sorry. I'll alter it up a little bit. How's it feel lower back? Look good?
Ooh. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
All right. How about your just...
Don't touch that part, Mark.
Sorry. Okay. I know. Sorry.
So they be going psycho, my rollie going crazy. Hitting little mama, she wanna have my babies. 50 on the banky, chain so stanky. You should see the whip, promise I could take your bitch. I'll riding in the old school Chevy, it's a drop top. Booning with a thot thot, she gon' give me top top. Just one switch, I can make the eyes drop. Take you to the smoke shop, we gon' get high.
That's an apt description, sleepy. You couldn't say it any better.
Really sleepy.
Just laying back in the club. He's the guy at the bar you're worried about because it looks like he's going to fall asleep.
I bet that if the average person heard the song, they wouldn't even realize that Ty Dolla $ign took over the song at that point.
I bet if one podcast host who wasn't paying close attention to the Genius page were to hear it, they wouldn't notice either.
Is it you or me? Because I was thinking it was me.
This sucks.
Again, this is another one of these songs. Like, let me tell you about all the money in the cars I drive.
Okay, tell me about it.
How about that, huh?
Yeah, I drive this car, and guess what? I have a necklace.
It never goes anywhere. Mark, we're trapped in it. It's Groundhog Day.
Oh, man. I don't even want to say that, though, because I don't want Post Malone anywhere near Groundhog Day, the film. Oh, God. Can you imagine Groundhog Day with Post Malone
in his bunker?
Oh, you would never know. Like, every morning, Bill Murray wakes up. Do a Post Malone song. Oh, shit. This again.
Members of the Blood Gang often swap out the letter C for the letter B in certain words for a demonstration of their rivalry with the Crips. For example, crazy becomes brazy and coolin' becomes boolin'. Ty continues with the theme of the track with another mention of psychopaths and now going crazy. In a 2013 interview with Vlad TV, Ty Dolla $ign said he was associated with the West Side Rolling Twenties, set of the Bloods growing up in Los Angeles while his brother was a Crip. THOT is a derogatory acronym that stands for that hoe over there, while TOP is slang for oral sex.
Right.
In case you're interested, Vlad TV is the primary propaganda tool coming out of Russia.
Vlad TV. That's the primary propaganda?
Yeah. As far as I know. It's like Fox News here, but just Vlad TV over there.
I thought it was RT.
Right. No, I'm pretty sure it's Vlad TV.
I hear that Vladimir Putin's face is actually printed on everything. Like, if you look at literally anything in Russia, Vladimir Putin's face is somewhere in it.
Like a watermark?
Yeah, like water.
Okay.
Like toilet paper, milk cartons.
No, he wouldn't put his face on toilet paper. Come on, he's not a monster.
But he did, because like on the toilet paper, has this look like, it's okay, I know you can do this. We'll get through this together. Sure, it was a lot. You didn't eat better, but we're gonna clean things up. I'm Vladimir Putin, here to help you with your poopy butthole.
Vladimir Putin's become Vladimir Poopin.
Oh!
Shut it down, Mark.
We gonna Rodeo, Dollar Valentino. We gonna hit Pico. Take you where I'm from. Take you to the stones. This ain't happened overnight. Now these diamonds real bright. Santa G, still in my pants though. All VVS's, put you in a necklace. Girl, you look beautiful tonight. Stars on the roof, they're matching with the jewelry. Damn, my hippie gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust no.
There he goes again.
Oh my god. So wait, it switched back there?
Yeah, that was Post Malone.
I don't actually think that's not true. I think that's a conspiracy.
It just pitched his voice up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh man, just two very sleepy rappers hanging out, huh?
This ain't happen overnight. No, those diamonds real bright. Sailor on jeans, still on my Vans though. All VVs, put you in a necklace. Girl, you look beautiful tonight.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
The ladies love it, Mark.
Do they? Who loves Post Malone? I guess everybody.
I feel like the ladies love him especially.
I don't know why you think that.
I don't know either. Just a gut feeling that I have.
I don't know. I have never heard anyone talk about Post Malone before.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, most other Billboard artists I hear in conversation occasionally, I never hear about Post Malone.
You're just not hanging out in the right circles.
Oh, I disagree. I'm counting that as a blessing in my life.
See, if you were a member of Doomsday Preppers R Us, you'd know that Post Malone is a big hit with all the Doomsday Preppers.
I don't know if you heard, Doomsday Preppers R Us just went out of business.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I don't want the world to blow up. I want to be a Doomsday Preppers R Us kid.
Do you remember going to the stores back in the day when we were kids, looking at all the survival knives and the health equipment?
Canned food, non-perishable food items.
Oh, my God. And they had the non-perishable food, like the beans for kids. They're like all colorful, like will last forever.
Yep. Could literally last forever.
I used to find my favorite fruit cups that were advertised to last hundreds of years, and I would hide them behind all the other stuff I didn't like, so I can come back later and get it.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to go to the radiation suit, plutonium.
The hazmat suit? Yeah.
And just roll around in that for a little while to test out the hazmat suit. Oh, and it's very effective.
Didn't you love too that all of the ball pit balls were in the shape of like ion, like they were in that kind of colander kind of shape, as if they were actually radiated. That was really cool.
We'll miss you, Doomsday Preppers R Us.
That's my childhood. That was my whole childhood there, man.
Mark, that was our childhood.
You're right. Body with all this jewelry on you, my roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo, come with the Tony Momo. For clowns and all the balls, or I be going psycho. La mama bad like Michael, can't really trust nobody. With all this jewelry on you, my roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo, don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands, so.
It's not done yet, Mark.
It's not. How many seconds are left?
11.
11 seconds. Oh, God. That was like the death knell.
There you have it.
Wow. There's that song, "This Is the Dream of Evan and Chan" by the Postal Service, or one half of the Postal Service, where like the whole song is meant to feel like a dream. So like when the song begins, you kind of hear street sounds, but then when you're in it, they disappear. And then whenever the song fades out, everything starts to feel like you're waking up. Like things get fuzzy, like a TV's going out. And I could not feel more like I just experienced that with the song, just fading out. I feel like I just fell asleep forever. Like that song was like a coma.
We all fall asleep forever. Yeah, we all fall asleep forever.
What is that?
That's what you feel whenever you listen to Post Malone. You fall asleep forever.
That's what you get when you let Post Malone win. So are you taking it? I'm taking it.
I was thinking about it, but that last chorus really did me in. I just don't think I can.
Oh, yeah. I am for sure not taking it. I'd much rather spend some time doing literally anything else than ever hear that song again.
All right, well, let's segue then and talk about some other stuff we listened to this week. I think I'm going to go first.
No.
Okay, you can go first.
No, just get it. Go ahead.
All right, I listened to the Speaking in Tongues by Talking Heads.
Oh, hell yes, you did.
It's really, really good.
You might say it's one of the 25 best albums ever made.
You might. You might say that, but I don't know that I have enough time with it to say that about it.
Well, I think if you did, though, like if you had enough time with it, you'd probably put it on your top 25 albums of all time.
Right, right. One might do that. And at the sake of maybe killing conversation that might happen in when one might put it on a top 25 list of albums of all time.
Like hypothetically, yeah.
I think I'll just mention a couple highlights. Opener and closer here are both fantastic, obviously. Burning Down the House and what's that other one at the very end? I can't remember the name of that.
Oh,
one.
I'm sorry. You listened to Speaking to. I thought you said Remain in Light. One might not put that on their top 25 albums of all time.
Oh, okay. This
must be the
if
place.
If they didn't, this must be the place. Naive Melody. That one's pretty good, huh?
That's one of my favorite songs ever written.
Do you stand by that?
Oh, absolutely. I love that song. I listened to it the other day. It's like always on rotation for me.
I think it's really beautiful.
Why did you ask if I stand by that?
I don't know. Things change.
You kind of just said it in such a way like, oh, you stand by that?
I would just think like if that one song means so much to you, then you'd see some representation on a top 25 albums of all time list.
I know that's the problem, right? Because then you're looking at like, well, how many of this artist am I going to throw on here? Give Remain in Light a listen sometime. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, I will. Also, Making Flippy Floppy is really great.
It's amazing.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Get this jive right in the middle of it. Nothing made me feel more like the 80s in a very long time than that song right there.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's top notch. It's a really good album.
Low key, one of the best songs on that album, Girlfriend is better. That song's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What else do we got? Oh, I don't know. How about a bunch of Weird Al albums I listened to this week?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know why, but I fell down the Weird Al rabbit hole and listened to his very first album, Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay.
There's some really good stuff on here. Like this one. And you know what that one is, right?
That's I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. You can't fool me.
You're right. But also some more original stuff like this Happy Birthday song. Lots of accordion on this thing.
It sounds like a nerdy Andrew WK.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. I had a good time with that. Pearl Jam dropped a new single called Can't Deny Me. I'm not going to talk about it because it's really bad.
Wait, no, I want to talk about it now. Why is it bad?
Okay, so it's the first Pearl Jam single of the Trump era, and everyone expects it to be nice and political, and there's a political edge to it of, like, you can't deny me, you can't deny who I am, what I represent, and represent me, and da-da-da-da-da, and I think it's totally low-key and bad and awful energy and just... man, those guys are getting old, and they just don't pack the punch they used to.
Wow.
It's just, like, slow enough and vague enough to not really leave much of an impact.
Yeah, I feel you.
What else do we got? Ooh, okay, let's get a little bit better here. One of the best albums I listened to so far this year, Mark. In a Poem Unlimited by U.S. Girls.
Ooh, I've been meaning to listen to that. That's good, huh?
Yeah, it's really, really great. It's a little bit ABBA, it's a little bit Madonna, it's a little bit of Haim. It's a little bit of some free jazz sprinkled throughout. It's a little bit of Natalie Prass. I liked it a whole lot. Let me play a little bit from you, okay? I'll get a range of selections. First here is M.A.H. And tell me you don't get the Madonna vibes right off the bat from this thing. How do you think about that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think that the bass in this album is fantastic. I can't remember the last time that a bass has felt so palpable in every song. Just grooving along in the background in so many of these tracks. Great vocal performance, obviously, and a lot of folks are giving a lot of praise for some incising lyrical content. But man, above all of that, these songs are just danceable tracks. I love it.
Nice. Gotta give it a listen.
But... I think that the other songs on the album are also different sounding. Like, here's one called Rage of Plastics. A little bit of tennis vibes in that for you, Mark?
Definitely.
All right. And how about another great one, The Pearly Gates? That's really good.
Yeah, that's cool.
That album rocks. I have a really strong feeling that album's going to be in my top 15 this year.
Top 25 albums of all time.
No, probably not that.
No.
A couple other things from the week, just very quickly. I'll mention that we're recording this on Saturday, and two huge albums, at least hotly anticipated albums for me, were dropped just yesterday. And I got one listen through a piece, so my hot thoughts on each of these just quickly here. Boarding House Reach by Jack White. This is his third solo album. I've been a big fan of his solo work, but I did think Lazaretto was a step down from Blunderbuss. And Mark, unfortunately, it seems that Boarding House Reach might be a further step down from Lazaretto.
Oh, really? Oh.
So there's Ice Station Zebra.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he is more like you know, Jack White doing his guitar thing. He's got these weird vocals on top of stuff to just make it sound a little bit funky. Here's a bit from Over and Over and Over. So, like, opening there, like, very Jack White, right? I'm thinking, like, okay, here we go. Here's where it's going to be Jack White again. Wait, what? What was that? I don't know, man. I don't know. And then finally, Preoccupations.
Oh, how is that?
Man, I think they're getting it back in gear. I was slightly let down by their Preoccupations self-titled album after what was a truly horrifying run-through on Viet Cong. I think they're finding a nice middle ground here for me where they're heavy like their original sound, but maintaining some more of the melody stuff from their sophomore. I think it's loaded with some great stuff. Very repetitive, very locking into that groove and just kind of letting the rhythms pound out for a couple of minutes at a time. Lots of great sounds on this thing. The album cover is like this old gray basement, and I think it matches that sound excellently. Here's a bit from Disarray. So it's got that sort of upright guitar, like in the track Bunker Buster from their first album. But also you get really heavy stuff like Antidote. Where the first minute and a half is just that drum beat on repeat.
Oh, sure. Classic Viet Cong.
So, again, I'm just one listen through this thing, so I can't really give full thoughts on it yet, but it looks like it's trending pretty positively. I'm very excited to listen to it some more.
It's like weirdly a really good era of post-punk right now, huh?
Yeah. And man, give these guys credit for churning out 3 albums in 4 years. Like, holy cow.
Yeah. That's like, I feel like there's like 5 bands that do that well anymore. Yep. I don't understand how in like the 60s bands would just be churning out albums like every day. Well, it's exciting. I'm excited to listen to that.
So it's a shame that, you know, we're doing the 100th episode next week because I'd love to talk either one of those albums with you in more detail, but we have to save it for later, Mark.
Well, you know what? If nothing but absolute trash comes out the next couple weeks, maybe we'll talk about Preoccupations.
Okay. What have you been listening to, Mark?
Really, it's your choice. I have a couple things here. Only 2 albums from this year, but a few other albums, too. I listened to Memories of Tokyo Toe by Too Mellow, which is a really interesting project. This guy composes music for a lot of indie games and also does like internet rap stuff. Basically said, hey, I really like the video game Jet Set Radio, or over here, used to be called Jet Grind Radio. I thought that soundtrack was awesome, and I wish they kept making it, so I just made a bunch of new songs that I feel like would fit in that game really well.
Sweet.
I know, it's kind of the coolest idea. And there's, it's definitely like a fan fiction like feeling thing. There's a lot of tracks where I'm like, like he raps on a couple of the tracks that just like totally I don't know if I need that, but whenever he actually gets the sound aesthetic, he like nails it. Here's the track Getaway, which I think has that really great like fusion of like early 2000s like poppy like hip hop and like 70s like detective film like noir kind of like chase scene stuff. funky, right?
That's funky. That's tight. Funky.
This other track on here called Tag Walls Punch Fascists, which has this interesting sample. I'm sure it's something very familiar that I just can't place, but there's something about this track I also think sounds really nice.
Cool.
Thoroughly enjoyed parts of that album. It was really neat stuff there.
Neat.
Yeah. I listened to self-titled debut with the band Dreamwife. Something that I think you might enjoy, actually.
Okay.
Very, like, early 2000s, like, earnest rock music with an edge kind of deal.
Good.
Here's a track from that. It's called Let's Make Out.
Yes.
Yeah. Solid debut.
Kind of like the band formerly known as Death From Above 1979.
Yeah, sure. Or like early Yeah Yeah Yeahs or something.
Yep.
Totally. Ended up enjoying it quite a bit. There's a few tracks on there that are like maybe a little embarrassing. Like just in terms of like they're being kind of performatively tough. In a way that feels like they're trying, which is not a good vibe for like such an earnest rock band, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But overall, it's actually a pretty solid album, I think.
Sounds cool. I got to check it out.
Yeah, you do. And I wish you would have, honestly, if we're talking honestly. All right. Here's something I'm excited about. I listened to, for the first time, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts by David Byrne and Brian Eno.
All right.
And it is a found sounds like funk album where all of the vocals are taken from the radio or television or films or just events in life.
Yeah, it sounds like Brian Eno.
Yeah. But it's actually really cool. Like, I think what they do is interesting. There's a lot of work, like, kind of a... religious spirituals from around the world in here. There's a very heavy vibe of religion in the album, and a lot of what you can interpret in it, I think, is a sense of music and worship. And what's interesting about it is there's also songs that are kind of more American focused, and rather than any traditional sort of religious musical symbolism, they actually use two pretty interesting samples. One is a politician arguing with a radio DJ in the track Mea Culpa. And I'll play a quick clip of that and get a, kind of a feel for the album. So you're getting kind of the contrast between the DJ, which is who's unintelligible but has a very kind of reassuring voice, and then this like panicky politician who's like, "I know I screwed up, but I'll never do it again. I'm going to be a good." It's just like an interesting juxtaposition between like religious spirituality, and then here's America over here. That's what we're up to. My favorite track of the album and my favorite found sound on the album is from the track "The Jezebel Spirit," which is audio taken from an exorcism.
Whoa.
Yes.
Sounds horrifying.
It's, well, you know what? It's actually really funky and weird. I mean, it's still a David Byrne thing. his capacity to be anything other than funky and weird is very low.
True.
Let's figure it out. Okay, did you see how much is about purge within you? Do you have a spirit of greed? Do you have a spirit of destruction?
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
definitely
I love everything
flavored.
It's got that like that kind of popping noise in the background too. Ugh, everything about it's amazing. Like really textured songwriting and stuff. I probably won't dig into too many clips of these, but I listened to four of the top 25 albums. I've been revisiting some favorite artists of mine, reevaluating some work, and it sort of put me back in a Bob Dylan hole.
There it is,
back in that. That old Bob Dylan hole.
The Bobby D hole.
My Bobby D Holden. Hole. Oh, that fell apart.
Bobby D Holden to no man.
Yeah. Thank you. You've rescued me. I listened to his self-titled debut when he was like 8 years old or something crazy. I like that album a lot. It's before he does anything other than be a prodigy. Just kind of like, I mean, it's like kind of classic. You know, just like 17-year-old talking about going to New York. I'm like, listen to this. Charlie, listen to this kid talk about New York.
Okay.
In 17 years, I didn't feel so cold, man.
Oh, man. I just want to go on a subway ride with a child.
Even at 17, he still sounds like he's 55.
Well, he started smoking at the age of zero. So.
Yeah, he was smoking in utero. I just kept sending him up to him.
He's actually the baby that's on in utero. He's that baby.
Oh, no Rock kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Portrait of him.
So that's how he got famous. See, now I'm going to second guess all of his songwriting and just know him as that baby on the cover of that album.
I feel like it's almost too obvious that every track Bob Dylan ever wrote is just a cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. Damn. Now that you say that, it's just plainly obvious.
Yeah, and we all kind of know, but because he's a smoking 8-year-old child, we all just kind of forgive him.
Smoking Nirvana, baby.
Oh, man, now if that isn't the title of an art project, I'm going to start with my friend Greg. I don't know what is. I listened to the
follow-up. We're talking about Bob Dylan next week, huh?
Oh, yeah, we will be. I'll say yes. Sophomore album, Free Will and Bob Dylan, I think is a stone-cold classic, full of optimism. It's when he starts to get into activism. I understand some people are put off by Bob Dylan because he has just an endless amount of material and a very, I guess, off-putting voice to people. But I think so, as an activist in the 60s, I think he did some meaningful things, and some of these songs were really forward thinking and progressive.
I think it's fair to say that more people love him than dislike him.
Okay, no joke. Literally every person I've ever talked to about Bob Dylan has told me that he's terrible.
Okay.
And I love Bob Dylan. And everyone, it's always the same criticism. I always get so annoyed. It's like, but why does his voice sound like that? I don't know. Anyway. So Free Will and Bob Dylan, very excellent album. I kind of fell off it whenever I started to get into him because none of the songs are as complex, but he's got songs in here about just enjoying being friends and dreaming and being in an apartment and playing music and, like, you know, we thought we were going to succeed and we were never going to fail, and, you know, we're going to have to wake up one day from that. In this track, he's talking about that in this track, Bob Dylan's Dream. I'm going to play a clip of it because it's amazing.
Okay.
We're alone for nothing and we're satisfied. Joking and talking about the world outside.
Just so, like, warm and real, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my favorite album covers of all time, when he's just walking down the street with his lady. All right. Enough Bobby D. I listened to I kind of fell into a whole 60s hole here. I'll just run through a couple of these. I listened to a ton of Joan Baez, man. I spent like a week just listening to Joan Baez.
Okay.
I don't have a ton to say about Joan Baez. She's amazing. I'm excited to listen to the album she put out. She put out an album this year. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
She's 77.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I know. She's great. Her songs are great. I listened to her album because she primarily did covers in her career. She did an entire album of Bob Dylan covers called Any Day Now. And there's a few of her versions of those songs on there. A few of them are actually better than Bob Dylan's originals. And she's cool. I think Joan Baez seems like a really cool person. Yeah. I listened to Francois Hardy's whatever. I don't know. That's French words. I don't know how to say the album. Francois Hardy's amazing. Here's a clip of Francois Hardy. Here's a clip of like what Wes Anderson listened to before he started making his stuff.
Yeah, it's Moonrise Kingdom.
Exactly.
Sweet.
I think actually some of her songs are in his movies. But she's great. Listen to Wildflowers by Judy Collins. Everyone knows that that's a great album. I listened to Procol Harum's self-titled debut from the 60s. I was actually not a fan. I was told that it was like the psych rock thing, that it was going to be really like revolutionary and like crazy sounding, and I kind of I enjoyed it. Like, it's a good album, but I kind of didn't fall in love with it. Here's a clip of that. I think it's cool, but I didn't sock my blocks off, I'll tell you that. Last thing that I listened to, Just Another Diamond Day by Vashti Bunyan. Now, this is an amazing story. Charlie, do you know the tale, the yarn of Vashti Bunyan?
No.
Great. I would tell you about it. She was this lady who lived in London.
Wow. She's a lady?
Yeah, it's crazy. She was a woman. Can you believe that?
I didn't think those were allowed anymore.
Well, get this. She lived in London.
Okay, okay.
She heard an album by Bob Dylan, and she was like, wow, I want to go do that. So she moved to New York City to make a folk album, and she did. It's called Just Another Diamond Day, and everyone didn't care. Just totally wasn't listened to. People were too far past the scene. It was the 1970, damn it, people were over it. So she felt really sad and discouraged, and she just gave up. She just like said, oh, well, I guess I'm not a musician. No one bought my thing. And so she never recorded anything again. And that album, over the years, grew into kind of a collector's item because it was just a weird thing that like there's 100 copies of or whatever, and the thing is, it was actually very gorgeous. Here is a clip of it. It's honestly one of the best folk albums I've ever heard.
And there's a sunset brimming over the sky. And there's a swallow teaching its young how to fly. A moon calls, see how summer passes by.
Tell me that's not gorgeous.
It's very peaceful.
Yeah, it's like overwhelming. And her voice, I've never heard anyone with a voice like that. Like, I want to protect her voice.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make sure her voice is okay. So anyway, it's an amazing album, and decades go by, it starts to grow in popularity, and then because it's a collector's item, and then so people start to kind of revisit it as things are like put on the internet, right? And so all of a sudden these publications are like, oh, this is like a forgotten classic, and it starts getting written about and critiqued, and it gets re-released, and it gets like wide reviews, and everyone loves it. Like, she gets like 10s out of 10s, all these amazing scores, like by pretty much every facet of a music publication. And then she said, wow, people like that from like 40 years ago, you know what, I'm gonna do it again. And so she started her music career again in her like 60s or 70s or however long, and just put out two more albums. It's like an amazing story where thankfully, you know, because of the internet, this amazing musician was able to continue to put out great stuff. So, yeah, Vashti Bunyan, really cool. Just Another Diamond Day, fantastic album. Can't recommend it enough. And that's going to round out my stuff I listen to.
Awesome. I got to check that out.
It's really cool.
Vashti Bunyan.
Vashti.
Vashti. Okay. Vashti. Well, that'll do it for episode 99. Mark, there's just one thing left to do, which is... You're ready for episode 100. Are you ready?
Oh, man. I literally don't have my list finished.
Okay. Well, either way, Mark and I will be in person together once again next week to commemorate the very special occasion that is our 100th episode of Weekly Beats. It's been a long time coming, but here we are. We'll be bringing that to you next week in lieu of a regular album discussion and Billboard topic. Instead, Mark and I will both be discussing our top 25 albums of all time. And though we love to count down the lists and rank stuff in order, I think it's especially hard to do that with these 25 albums that mean so much to us personally. So what's the deal? Alphabetically? We're going to do it alphabetically, Mark?
If you want, we can do alphabetically. I was just going to put it literally like in a random order. But I can do alphabetically if you'd like.
Okay. Let's do alphabetically by album title.
What? Why is this always so confusing? Okay. Bye, album time. Fine. Sure.
Good. So we'll be discussing that on next week's show. We'll get back into the regular order of things for 101. And in the meantime, you can get in contact with us in all of the usual ways. Send us a review on the iTunes store and the podcast app on whatever means you're listening to us. Sure would appreciate that. And, you know, you could find us on social media and other places, too, like Facebook and our email and our Podomatic page. It's all out there for you. Just click on the show notes, and you'll find it all there. We're here for you. Talk to us.
Please.
Please.
So please talk to
us. Scary, empty void if you don't talk.
We're afraid.
Lord knows we talk enough ourselves.
Oh, talk to me, please. Talk to me.
Alrighty. Well, Mark... I'll see you next week for the 100th episode special. Until next time, play that outro music! Soft-boiled potato.